Our Psalm 67 is our first reading today. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may not be known upon earth and your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. And may God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. The second reading comes from Acts 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We therefore set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, to following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and the Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down, spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. And she was from the city of Thyatira, and dealer in a purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A pet viper swallowed a sheet of window glass, causing the snake severe physical discomfort. It was a real pain in the ass. I'm sorry, that was the only joke I could find about, I was trying to find something about stained glass, and some of those jokes were just totally unacceptable. And then I thought, well, maybe I can find a joke about Lydia. Found nothing. The only thing I could remember was my father going around the house singing Groucho Marx's song, "Lydia, oh Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia the tattooed lady." And that's all I remembered of that. So the humor's a little weak today, but I guess maybe it is every week too. So, well, anyway, about 10 years ago, as a sabbatical project, I traveled around Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois, and Missouri, visiting various churches and photographing their stained glass windows, and finding out as much as I could about the story behind the stained glass and when it had been put into the church and all of that. And the windows ranged from very, very old and traditional to those more abstract and modern. Now, most of them, by and large, depicted a biblical story, which is very much in keeping with how stained glass windows came about. Stained glass started being added to churches, especially in the Middle Ages. People lived in kind of dark homes. You know, there were probably not very many windows to let in the light. And so coming into the church sanctuary and seeing all that light and color really lifted them up and made the place very special. And then also most of the population was illiterate. And so biblical stories were depicted in stained glass as kind of a visual reminder. They would hear the story and they would see the window, and then the window helped them remember that story so they could pass it on. Now, there's one problem with stained glass. I mean, they're usually very beautiful and they do enhance our worship space. But with most stained glass, you cannot see outside. Wow, did you like that, the way I did that? Later. In our lesson this morning from the book of Acts, Paul encounters a woman who will prove very important to him. And she goes by the Gentile name of Lydia and has settled in Philippi as a foreigner living in that city. Lydia is independent and she's a quite successful businesswoman, described as a dealer in purple cloth. Now, purple dye was the most expensive of all colors. It came from the lining of a rare seashell and was costly and difficult to produce. Only the very wealthy could afford to wear purple clothing. So that means that Lydia was pretty well connected. And even if she wasn't a member of perhaps the wealthiest class in Greek society, she was at least used to trading with them and dealing with them and, making clothing for the rich and famous of her time. I mean, she kind of seems unlikely to be someone that Paul and his entourage would expect to encounter at a Jewish place of prayer on a riverbank outside a Greek city. But you know, you have to expect surprises when you are led by the Holy Spirit. And she and her entire household embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul makes her a leader in the Philippian church. I mean, it's rather startling that the person who becomes his closest associate in a woman, and a Gentile woman at that, and a woman who is given a name, because most of the women in the Bible may be mentioned, but very few actually are named. So Lydia responds to Paul's confidence in her by inviting the apostle and his companions to take up lodging in her house. And that house will soon become the center of Christian evangelism in Philippi. And all because Paul goes looking for converts not in the usual places, but along the banks of a river. He stepped outside the box, so to speak, and followed where he was directed by the Holy Spirit. Which brings us back to the beauty of stained glass, how they enhance the loveliness of many Christian churches. And while gorgeous when the light shines through and illuminates the vivid colors, most don't allow people to see outside the church walls. And it's symbolic of a problem some long-established churches have. After many years, even many generations of encountering God within their sanctuary walls, they come to associate spiritual life with that sacred space. And they forget that the book of Acts says what it says about that place by the river and the meaningful encounters that happen in that open-air setting. Far from following Jesus to the peoples of all nations, too many congregations are more comfortable saying to all nations, stop by sometime and join us. You know, we're always open on Sundays. You are welcome. And then they sit and they wait, wondering why so few who are different from them cross their doorstep. And the challenge for many of today's congregations is how to move from beyond maintenance, simply keeping things the way they are, and stepping into mission. Now, I am very, very proud of the mission-mindedness of this congregation and the ways in which they reach out to improve the lives of so many people in this community and beyond. However Christ-like our outreach missions are, and the wonderful things they accomplish, they are not helping us to bring people into our sacred space, to bring people in as part of our faith family. And there's both are important. As a congregation, we are dedicated to ministering outside our stained glasses. The walls really don't hold, they don't box us in. We step out willingly to our neighborhood and beyond. We are comfortable entering into that unknown territory outside the stained glass. But what are we doing? First, to invite those outside to come inside and join our church family. And that's why we exist as a church, to bring in others and build up the body of Christ. That is our prime purpose, to bring people to Christ, to know Christ, to follow Christ. As Christ followers, in addition to caring and providing services to those in need, we need to be planting seeds, nourishing faith formation in new ways, not just how we've always done it before. We need to share our faith with others. We need to tell how the church has supported us. How has the church helped you in times of trouble, welcomed you, and given meaning to your life? We need to invite others to come and see. Lydia didn't learn about Jesus on her own. She'd never heard of him. It was Paul and his companions who led her to the gospel. You know, people are a lot like stained glass windows. They sparkle and they shine when the sun is out. But when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is a light from within. Let our lights so shine before others that they will come to know and follow Jesus, and we will light a path for them to follow as we follow Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.